Chapter 4 of Acts, you'll see that the early church has already grown from a band of a few hundred people to several thousand disciples of Christ. And this upsurge of attendance created problems in the community, particularly with a group known as the Sadducees. This religious group of leaders were upset with the preaching that was taking place. They were preaching about the resurrection, and they didn't believe in it. But they had a bigger agenda that was on their mind, was the control of the people and the concern that Rome might see nationalistic fever take place and come in, and they would lose not only their place but possibly their lives. So they had something to say about this preaching in the name of Jesus. It just wasn't going to happen on their watch. They brought in Peter and John and said, "Stop doing this." And, of course, Peter and John said, we're going to preach what we're supposed to preach. You do what you have to do. We'll do what we have to do and let the chips fall where they may. So the next day when they all this whole court about this guy being healed, and, of course, the evidence was there, they had nothing to hold him on. So they said, we got to let you go, but don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they just simply set him loose. Now, several lessons pop up right away, right there, that are easy to find, probably more, but a couple just to remind us, first of all, is the idea that the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, will always create problems in culture. Not just in culture, but in the individuals in the culture as well. Most recently, you probably have heard, if you've been following any, if you're a sports follower, even if you're not, a hit national news, this Kansas City kicker, Harrison Butker, I don't know him a whole lot, but he was the commencement speech speaker at a particular college. I believe it was a Catholic university. At least that was its original foundation there. And he was talking about having pride in your children, but not the sinful pride that's celebrated every month in America. And I thought, wow. So you got to imagine what happened with the media, right? It went crazy all over him. I mean, he's getting hate mail. I mean, it's now the government's gotten involved a little bit about all this constant hate mail that's coming at him. He said some other things. Yeah, you and I could debate whether that was the place and the time and all that, but the point is, he was kind of speaking the truth, and culture didn't like it. Or I should say, let's be honest, a small portion of culture didn't like it. A very small portion. The media is one thing, but I found out later this group called Faithful America. It's a Christian group. Never heard of them. Anyway, they're an organization of Christians. They support social justice causes. So it sounds great, right? Except they're seeking 15,000 signatures to stand against what Butker just said. And I thought, what are you doing? Who are you representing? So the first thing we see from here, and it's relevant today as much as it was in Peter's day, you preach the name of Jesus. You can preach it all you want as long as it's not an exclusion as he's the only way to God. Then you're going to get in trouble. The culture doesn't like that. And they don't like the truths that come with that. So that's a fact that was present here and is present today. You can expect that to happen. I had several more that were very interesting, one being about this teacher, I believe it was in Ohio, no, it was Virginia, excuse me, it was in Virginia, that had in 2019 got in trouble. In fact, he got fired because he refused to call a girl a boy and a boy a girl in his classroom. And so because of that, he was released. But they didn't know this guy. He got some good counsel, and they stood up, and most recently a court case overruled the school board and said, no, you cannot do that. In fact, it cost them $1 million to fire him improperly. So we see these sort of things happening in our culture, and it's not just with one particular thing that we would stand as Christians to say, no, that's not what the Word says. Not what I say, but the Word of God says, and we need to follow the Word of God. Amen? So these things are coming up to the gospel of Christ. If you're going to preach it, you got to know you're going to have trouble. It's just going to happen. People, like Paul said it himself, the gospel is offensive. All right, it is. Because you're basically telling people, I'm telling myself, man, you're a sinner and you deserve hell. People don't like to hear that. But it's really great, great medicine when you follow it with the good news of Christ. So we have that. Another thing that we see out of here, I love it, is that facts are stubborn things. Now, I didn't come up with that. I think President John Adams is the one that actually came up with that phrase years ago. Facts are stubborn things, so you and I need to stick to the facts. We need to put our opinions and all our twists and everything else and all our experiences, you know, if they support the facts, that's fine. But we need to push that off to the side, stick to the facts. The fact was, here's a guy that had been crippled. Now he's standing and running around, jumping and leaping and praising God. It's a fact. Sorry, guys. Here it is. Well, the Sadducees realized, yikes, we can't really refute this. I mean, we know the situation. He was crippled. He was injured. He was out of it. He was unable to do what he could do. And then something happened. Amen. We know what happened. And so as we interact with culture and society, we need to stick to the facts. Facts come from here. Scriptures, the Holy Word of God. And so we have this healed man taking place. Another one here, quickly, before we move on. This is all introduction. This is good. Is you tend to reflect the people that you hang around with and love. The people and things that you hang around with, things you read a lot, things you listen to a lot, things you just really love to be around, you tend to reflect that. How do I know that? Well, right here in the text it says, they perceive that these men have been with Jesus. Would you like to the followers of Jesus Christ? Would you like to have that in your life? Amen. Anybody? Come on now, you can go ahead, and when I ask, you can tell me if that's what you want, because that's what we're here for. And we don't always do that. We don't always live a way that reflects. I mean, if you're like me, I mean, we could first of all take the camera and point at ourselves. Has there ever been a time where you didn't act like Jesus? Yeah, me too. Happens a lot, all right? Thank God for grace, amen? Thank God for 1 John 1:9, amen? Absolutely, we have those moments. Boy, but how awful it is when news comes across the news. They always find these folks that act crazy, and they do things in the name of Jesus, and you're saying, no! And they do, and you're like, that's not my Jesus. I don't know who you're representing. Well, these guys were actually acting in such a way that it was a good thing. These guys hung around Jesus. They're talking like him. They like the things he likes. They don't like the things he doesn't like. They're obviously disciples of Christ. It just makes sense. That is what I want to be accused of, and I hope that's what you want to be accused of. So those are kind of the things right off front that we get into as we get into our text this morning, because now, and we're in Acts 4, by the way, if you didn't get the hint. So Acts 4, there the church has just witnessed this boldness of Peter and John, and it's coming across, and it's coming across in the midst of great persecution. Now, it's one thing to name the name of Jesus and say you're a Christian, but it's a whole other thing when you get persecuted for it, even those who are close to you. Some people might want to run away. Some people might be shy. And I say, oh, I don't want to say anything. Oh, I don't want to pray out loud here. I don't want to show that I have a devotion to Jesus Christ. It's not what Peter and John did, man. They were so bold, it really fired up the church. It strengthened the church, and it really developed a healthy moment in the church. Now, why do I say moment? Because if you read the entire New Testament, you know, most of it's spent on helping the church, which is unhealthy, to get healthy. That's what it's about. That's what all those letters are about. Encouraging the saints, stop doing this, do this. Stop doing this, do this. I'm really glad and proud of some of you guys for following this, but man, we got some problems over here. So the church enters into this state of healthy, unhealthy a lot. And it could happen very quickly. And so he's given this boldness, and even in the midst of antagonistic culture that he's living in. So I have to ask you the question, kind of like the theme, maybe a big idea for us this morning, how is your health today? I was talking with the committee back there, our ladies back there in the back row. And one of them was sharing with me about, you know, how's your health? You know, I got eye thing. I said, I got eye thing too. You know, my doctor told me I have 20/20 vision, 20/20 far away on this eye and 20/20 near on this eye. Okay. I never heard of that before. But in other words, that's why I do this when I read in front of church. I'm going, anyway. So it's really strange. Yeah, we're not talking about your physical health. I think we can all say the sin nature and the fall of man is coming true in all our lives as we get older. Amen. Woo, no matter what we do, age catches up with you one way or the other. You remember the first time that happened to you? I don't know how old you were. Actually, it could have been in your 20s. You know, you remember the high school days, right? Yeah. Oh, I did all those things. I had this at Cedarville one time. I had just finished wrestling for years and years and years, gone away 1 year, went back because my friend was the coach there, went to practice, lasted 10 minutes, and realized I'm getting old, 23. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about, how's your health? How's your spiritual health? Now, obviously, we're thinking about mental health, we're thinking about emotional health, but I'm going to tell you this, your spiritual health will drastically affect all those things, big time. So I'm not eliminating those. I don't want to talk about that. I am, but I'm putting it under the category of spiritual health. How are you today? How are you today? So the church here is really going to have three things that come out that help us to understand whether we individually or as a church are healthy. Now, there's a lot more, of course, but we'll just go verse by verse as to how it comes forward here. So we're going to begin here in verse 32. Do you have your Bibles there in Acts 4:32? And it says here, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. They had everything in common. So the first sign that we see of health, your good health and my good health, is unity. That's the word. Can you say the word for me?
Unity.
Unity. There was unity there. Did you catch? The full number of those who believed were of how many hearts? One heart, one soul. One heart, one soul. So what he's saying here, basically, being strong together through Christ-centered relationships. Being strong together through Christ-centered relationships. The idea of being strong in Christ. Now, it's one thing, one might conclude that all Christians then ought to be unified. Amen? We're in Christ. So it really is our relationship with God. Let's get this clear on unity. It's our relationship with God that is the foundation for a unity here. Everybody with me? Are you awake? You want me to do a flip? For all you that said yes, shame on you. All right, so you got that going on. Yeah, it's our relationship with God that makes this happen. You got to get that right. That's really what's going on here. One body, one mind, heart and soul there. That's what he's talking about. I heard it said one time, you can tie tails of cats and dogs together, and you might have union, but you won't have unity. Amen. Yeah, that's right, right. The reality is that many Christians are tied together like cats and dogs, but they don't have unity. Mm-mm, they're in the same church. They might even sing in the same choir. I heard about choir four times up here. That's great. But they don't have unity. That's not healthy. That's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for the body of Christ. And it's not even healthy for the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Because people can see that. Even people that are from the outside looking in. Why is that member talking about that member? Why is that member talking about that? We don't want to do that. So we have this going on here. They had one mind, one heart and soul. One heart and soul. Jesus understood this a lot. Big time. Jesus understood so much just a few months earlier, and you can read about it yourself, and I encourage you to do it. In John 17, the high priestly prayer, what does he say? I'll read it for you, just an excerpt. Father, I do not ask for these things only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you and I are one. What? Yeah, it's not be one as you and you are one, or you and you are one. It's as we are One. What did he mean by that? He was talking about a relationship that the Father and the Son shared together from eternity past and continue to share. What does that look like? I'm glad you asked. All right, you're with me? So just for a moment here, I think we need to color this picture. So there's a lot to it, but I'm going to give you just a couple things, and you can do the study yourself this week. What was it that, how did this unity look like? What did it look like? The Father and the Son had a deep love for each other. I'll prove it. John 5:20 says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing." The Father loves the Son. John 14:31, Jesus is saying, "I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love." So unity, if you want to kind of color it, define it, because we all have an idea what unity is. Unity really has a foundation here, a deep love for, can I say this? The same God. Not your God. Not your God, not your God, not my God. The one true God of heaven and earth. That's where unity in a healthy church, in a Christian family begins, is a love for the same God. So who's your God in your life? Who's your God? I know you come to church. I know I come to church, but really, who's my God? It's easy for me, I don't know about you, to let other gods get before him. And so the unity is busted at that point. It breaks apart. Now, the great thing about grace is that you can come to God and through confession and repentance, rejoin and be one, heart and soul. Unity, it comes and it begins with that deep love for the same God. Maybe churches struggle because they're not all serving the same God. They serve the God of self. Well, that's the first one. The other one here, defining, coloring unity a little bit, because we talked about it being a sign of a healthy church as we have heart and soul, is that the Father and Son not only had a deep love, but they spent, are you ready? Oh, that's a good one. Hang on. Quality time together and communication. That's a lot of words. Quality time together. I'll say it again. Quality time together in open communication. I can prove it. It says right here in Mark 1:35, here's one of many verses, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day began, he went out," Jesus that is, "and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." This is a discipline that Jesus had in his life. Praying to God alone, him and his Father. You want to be close to God? Spend time with him. You want to be close to each other? The rules apply the same. Didn't matter what group I was in. I started out as a children's pastor, and then I became a youth director, and then I was an assistant pastor. And I became a senior pastor. Didn't matter what level it was, so I'm not going to pick on any one level, but I can tell you this. The people that spent time together developed a good relationship. Sometimes it was a struggle, but that was okay. You could work through it. A relationship, the time together, and they became closer and closer and closer. And I always knew which ones were going to walk out. Because it was easy to walk out. It was easy to leave because they didn't really know these people. They didn't really spend time with these people. Oh, they said hi to these people. How are you doing this morning? God bless. Praise the Lord. Jesus is awesome. And that's all they had. But they didn't have in any way a real relationship with anyone. It was easy to walk away. It's exactly what Jesus was praying against. I want them to have a relationship like you and me. We're not going to have this walking away stuff when things go bad. In fact, the sign of a true friend, this is another message, but you get this one for free, is that the sign of a good friend is that they stick around when things are bad. And that's what Jesus does for us all the time. It's called grace. And so we have here the Father and Son. They spent quality time together, and unity then gets colored with this whole thing. It comes from committing to spend time together with one another. And I know you can't be friends with everybody. You can be friendly to everybody, but you can't necessarily be close. But God, help us to connect with people. Discipleship groups, Sunday school groups, service groups. Choir to be is one big small group. I guess you call it a big group. Serving together. Getting to know each other. That is exactly what the Father is praying. That's what unity is about. And that's the sign of a healthy church. You can't know everybody's personal life, and you may miss out if someone went to the hospital. It even happens in the office sometimes. But God could put people in your life that you can love and care for. That's a sign of a healthy church. One more thing, and then we'll move on, because it's not just unity here. So what else did the Father and Son do that help us to understand this prayer of Jesus? The Father and Son had the same, don't miss this, you'll miss a lot of the message. Father and Son had the same purpose. The same purpose. Let me put it another way, you sports fans. One coach. One game plan. They had the same purpose. I love that scene in Hoosiers where the coach comes in, right? He's trying to get the boys who are very talented together. Goes out in the first game, you remember, right? And old Ray, who by the way is a believer, did you know that? He was a dentist in Warsaw for years, that actor, that kid. Anyway, he's a believer in Jesus Christ. Anyway, so he's a really good shooting guard. He decided things weren't working, so he wasn't going to listen to the coach. He starts doing his own thing, doing his own thing. And the coach pulls him, sits him down, and he's so mad he can't even talk to him. It's probably a good thing he didn't say anything, because when we're like that, man, the words can come out, we don't want to come out. And so he just looks at him, and one boy fouls out, and there's only four on the floor, and he was going to go. Old Ray was supposed to go, and he said, "Where are you going? Sit down." You remember that? Anybody watch that? I love that scene, because it made a principle, man. There's only way, the only thing that's going to work together is to have one coach. Got to be in unity. Got to buy in on it. Here Jesus says, we bought in. We have the same purpose. I'll prove it for you. John 6, 38 through 40. For I have come down from heaven. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Are you listening? This is Jesus. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He just took his will over there. I'm following you, Lord. I'm following you, God. Whatever you have to say. Unity comes from working together with one purpose. And it's a challenge. I know, because guess what? I got personal preferences. I don't know about you, but I do. And sometimes in the name of Jesus and for the unity of the body and the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, if it's not about a doctrine, I'm going to just put that right aside and engage in conversation and come to unity of what we're going to do. That was an indication of a healthy church, which would mean an indication of an unhealthy church is everybody standing up saying what they want rather than what is best. So that's the coloring here. But it's amazing, just like today, back then, you got to know these people come from a lot of different types of backgrounds. I mean, they did live in similar villages, but they may have different views on different things. You think they might have viewed life a little differently? Do you think that maybe they didn't have the political parties we have, but it's possible today that we might have different views on some political things. We might have a different cultural experience, a different background that leads them to think differently and all that, but they were able to come together. They were able to come together, and in all of those differences, they were able to do gospel ministry together and serve the Lord. That's why, by the way, I believe, other than, of course, the Holy Spirit, that's one of the things that it jumped from hundreds to thousands. It's because the hypocrisy was just thrown out. And for me, I have to confess my hypocrisy every week. How can I be mad at people and culture and Washington when at times my own heart is wrong? Unity comes when we work together in Christ under the same God. Why was this important? Well, for them and for us today, there are a lot of roadblocks too, right? Staying together was important. There's a lot of roadblocks. There's a lot of persecution going on here. A lot of things happening. I always love quoting this when I can. It popped up here. It's going to work. Benjamin Franklin said during the signing of the Declaration, right? You remember this phrase? Gentlemen, we must certainly hang together or we will most assuredly hang separately. That's true. Hey, we're all signing this thing. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, I know that we are all growing in faith and we didn't know everything. We still don't know everything. There was a lot we didn't know. But one of the things that you need to know now, if you've been a Christian a while, is that that big thing that was called things that I want and love, God starts working at it. Now, there's some things he says, oh, that's good. Yeah, keep that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But there's probably some things in that list that says, get rid of it. It's not going to create the kind of spirit in your heart or in the body of Christ that's going to be helpful. I know you might be passionate about it, but that's not going to work. And so here, the sign of a healthy church is a love for God. Same God, same purpose, one another. Second sign in the next verse. Woo, that only took 20 minutes for one verse. We're doing good. All right, next verse is verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. The second sign of a healthy church is priority. What's the word? Priority. We have unity. We can see that this church is healthy, man. They all come from all different places and ideas, but they really come together when it comes to the things that are the main thing, the things that matter about Christ and the gospel. They come together on that. They may walk out and disagree on certain things, but when it comes to the gospel, they're together. But the second one is priority here. Priority. The priority. Oh, this is awesome. Comes from you remember the For What It's Worth department? Paul Harvey. Anybody remember that? All right, good. So this is a story. This came from Carl Coleman. He was driving to work when a woman motorist passing too close snagged his fender with hers. Both cars stopped, and the young woman surveying the damage was in tears. It was her fault, she admitted, but it was a brand new car. They just took it off the showroom 2 days earlier. How was she ever going to face her husband? Well, Mr. Coleman was sympathetic, but he did explain that they really should exchange license plate numbers and such things like that for, you know, insurance companies and everything else. So she reached into her glove compartment to retrieve this document that she needed in an envelope. And on the first paper to fall out of that compartment was a heavy masculine scribble. Was these words, in case of accident, it's you I love and not the car. Priority. Right? Priority. What's the priority for a healthy church? What's the priority? Well, for all the things that a church could do, and by the way, there's a lot of good things that churches can do. A lot of things. Not criticizing that. But there's the main thing the church must do. When you go back to Acts, you're finding out it started out that way. What was the main thing? Proclaiming the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Salvation is in His name alone. The best thing you can do, O Israel, is to repent and come to your Lord who has His arms wide open in tears, desiring for you to come to Him and enjoy fellowship with Him forever and ever and each other. And man, all your problems will, through Christ, be addressed and resolved according to His glorious will. That was the priority Paul writes in 1 Corinthians about this priority. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. Are you ready? You haven't fallen asleep yet back there, have you? All right, good. What did Paul say? Listen here. I want you, church, that all of you agree. Oh, that's pretty hard. My wife doesn't even agree with everything I do. Hard to believe. Unless you know my wife and me, then it's not hard at all to believe. He says there be no divisions among you. No divisions. That you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. What in the world? Because that wasn't that many years later. Happened to the church back then. Well, he goes, it's reported to me by some of Chloe's people. You know Chloe's people. That there is some quarreling among you, my brothers. What? In church? No way. He says, what I mean by it is this. Some of you say, I follow Paul, man. He's the one. He's the cat's meow. You guys know what that means? Ask your parents. All right. So we have the cat's meow here. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. And somebody might say over here, I actually follow Christ. So there it is. So it's not hard for us to relate to that. And I want to be careful because, like you, I have favorite preachers too. I really do. But the problem wasn't that they were listening to people that were preaching the gospel necessarily. I'm not shooting down any of these guys. The problem is that it was creating division in the church about it. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Well, that's not what so-and-so said on Sunday. Yeah, but I like to listen to this guy over here. And it was just going on and on. I call them spiritual groupies. And we have a lot of them in the church today. I could name, I had a list here, but I scratched it all out. I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. But there's a lot of names people could just go on, and they're just groupies with them. And I love it when they're preaching the word. Praise God. You should, that's awesome. But it should not create division. So this is what Paul said. Is Christ divided? Was he? No. That was pretty weak. Was he crucified? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Christ didn't send me to baptize, and here it is. Are you ready? The priority, where we actually got to the point. Here it is. He called me to preach Christ. That is the mission. Now, we could tag good things with that mission, but if the church of Jesus Christ forgets about the gospel of Jesus Christ and doesn't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, it has lost its way. It's unhealthy. Paul says, Peter and John say, or I should say, Luke is writing this as well. It is important that we keep the main thing, the main thing. We need to be involved in things in our community. We need to be involved in things nationally when they come up. But we must remember, we are called to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that salvation comes not by works, working your way, but through grace alone, trusting in Christ alone. For it's by grace you have been saved, and I have been saved through faith. That's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that you and I don't sit here and brag on everything that we've done. It is a grace issue, and it is through Christ alone. That's the main thing. In Revelation, the Lord had something to say to the seven churches. There were five of them here that had things said to them that probably fall under this priority category. And just for reflection for our own heart first and then as a church, things you don't want to be said by Jesus Christ on the judgment day. Are you ready? Okay, baby C, you've lost your first love. Anybody want that one? How about... Okay, BBC, you need to repent. You can read about that in Revelation 2. All right, BBC, the church, you have false prophetesses amongst you. Well, pray to God we don't. That's why we have our Bibles and the Holy Spirit. Help guard against that. How about this, BBC? this is too apropos, actually, too many Sundays. The church has fallen asleep. bad preacher, I guess. But anyway, I think they mean something else there. Falling asleep, right? You've lost it. You've taken some kind of drug, the drug of something, culture or self or whatever it is, and you're not where you should be. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the relationship with Him and loving others and preaching this gospel. You lost it. And the final one here, oh, BBC, you're lukewarm. Oh, don't want to hear that one. Don't want to hear that one. Now, I'm not saying we have any of those things. I'm saying as a reflection that throughout the New Testament, this issue of priority is a big deal when it comes to health. We have the unity issue, but we also have the priority issue. We must be about Jesus Christ and Him, the Savior of the world. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And we all go through times of up and downs, but healthy churches will always come back quickly to what is the main thing. So that's why I don't really care when they have these silver-colored stools here when I ask for gold, you know, or the screen is only that big when I ask it to be the size of the wall. You get the point, right? Some things don't really matter. But Jesus matters. Amen. Last sign quickly here. I went fast on that one. It's the last several verses. Let's read them. Let's read God's word here. I'm going to read it out loud, beginning in verse 34 as we're working our way through this passage. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. And laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The third sign here of a healthy church comes out pretty strongly. It's the word community. Community. So we have unity, priority, and what's the third one?
Community.
Community. Community. Now, at first glance, when you read that, you say, whoa, he seems to be promoting socialism. You would be wrong. You would be wrong. It's the sharing of goods here was not an attempt to try to equalize everyone to make the same amount of money. No, this was all about generosity. This was about the DNA of God Himself, of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was He about? He was a God full of grace, full of mercy, and willing to give it and to share with others anything that He could to help them. That's a DNA that a church in Christ ought to have. All of us ought to have that kind of DNA. Generosity as much as we can. We try to do that here, I suppose, like you could say about anything else, we can always do better. But man, the spirit of generosity is the spirit of community as we help each other. Now, how can we share community in our church? I think the best way we could do it is with the first two. It's by tuning ourselves to our God. I don't know how many concerts you've been to over the years. I've been to all kinds of concerts. I've been to the elementary concerts and survived. Amen, parents? How can you have 100 trumpet players and 95 clarinet players? But they did anyway. Summer band. Woo! But then, you know, you went to the junior high concerts. Okay, hey, I actually recognize that tune. That's good. And now some of them are pretty good. Pretty good players. And then you get into high schools and you're saying, oh, they're finally getting it. Okay, it's working out. And then the professional level, what's one of the things they always try to do, especially the professional levels, but I did it as well in elementary, middle school, and high school. What is it they always do before they play one song? They what? That's right. And what's the frequency for bonus? I didn't expect him to answer so quickly. So there is a tuning note that everyone does. And normally, it can be the piano. Although the piano could be out of tune. It's usually the oboe player. I don't know why. maybe back 500 years. No, we don't want to get into that. But so the oboe player stands up, and you know the orchestra's getting ready, right? She starts, and then the violins come, and at the very end, they let the trumpets. So we have all that happening there because why? Because if you have dissonance, it's going to sound bad, even if they're good players. Same thing here. Community is a bad smell when there's dissonance in the community. And why is there dissonance? Because we're not tuning ourselves to the same God. Because I'll tell you one thing, even though we may hold different opinions and different views, and that's okay, we don't let it divide us. We don't let it shame the name of Jesus Christ by our attitudes and by our words. We come together and do it with a joyful heart, that we can actually serve God and put aside what might be our personal preferences to do what is right for the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so this healthy church here is healthy at this time because they have this unity in spirit. They have this priority of Christ-centered ministry, gospel ministry, and they have community. They're willing to come together. They're willing to do the one another's that are all in scriptures. We don't have time to develop that, but that's what this is about. The one another's, and at first we are speaking about the community here in the body. And from that strong community, it goes out to that larger community. But boy, it will taste bad if the cooking isn't done right here. And the only way that can happen is to go to Jesus. A lot more can be said, but I just want to ask you a question in closing here. So, kind of walking through this, how's your health? How is it? Where are you at? If you're like me, you probably have ongoing things that you have to pray about consistently. It could be an attitude. It could be an action. It could be something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. It could be something that you should be doing that you're not doing. I don't know what it is, but we go through those things. And it's okay. It's not okay that we're doing them. It's okay to admit and know that we still struggle with ourselves and other people. Jesus knew that. That's why he prayed what he prayed. But the good news is this. We can experience unity. We can experience a priority that's the same, and we can experience this true community if we come together in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Do you know him as your Savior? And if you do, are you following him and not another God? Would you bow with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to close in a song this morning, and I'll be at the front, but if you want to come this morning and have some prayer, I would love to pray with you, or maybe you just want to pray. You don't have to be to the front to pray, but I've often find it healthy for me to come forward and do that so that my brothers and sisters can be joining me. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may know about him, you may even know the gospel plan, but you've never trusted in him as your Savior, you can do that right now. You don't have to wait. For God loved you so much, he came and sent his God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, so that he would take the penalty that you and I deserved on himself. And he died and shed his blood and offered that to God as a substitute, a payment. And God accepted it. But it only works for the one who receives it. That's the gift that God offers, salvation. But you must repent and turn away from whatever it is you're holding on to. And it might be pride. I don't want to do that, you know, admit that I'm a sinner. Well, I got bad news. We're all sinners. But the good news is that Christ has paid for that sin and offers salvation. And he loves you and wants you to receive him. If you haven't done that, would you do that now by simply asking Christ, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please save me and forgive me of that. I trust in you alone to save me. And then if you have, just simply say, Lord, help me to follow you all the days of my life. Believers here, how's your health? I know it's like anything else. Sometimes we get those spiritual colds. spiritual allergies that come in, seasonal things, times of the year, whatever. Could have been because of events in our lives or just struggles that we have. I want to tell you about your good God who loves you so much. He offers grace and mercy. And you're nothing but a prayer away from being back in unity with Him. You are His child, but you can walk with Him. Would you just simply cry out to God from your heart? Say, Lord, here it's me again. And you already know, Lord. But I want to follow you. Father, I pray now that as we all make our decisions one way or the other, that we would find unity, priority, and community in our body today. And as we all continue to work together to proclaim Christ within our community here, but even more importantly, with the community outside that needs Jesus, I pray it will be powerful and effective because it won't be from a heart of hypocrisy. In Jesus' name, amen.